We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You may know him as George Washington. You may know him from other many roles that he's played, or you may know him as one of the most prolific traders in Dynasty Fantasy Baseball, or from his work on the podcast at The Athletic. He is Ian Khan. He joins me next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with my good friend Ian Khan from The Athletic. You know him very well from all the podcasts he does at The Athletic. He used to do a lot of the dynasty rankings over here at RotoWire. He does a lot of great stuff. He's in a lot of leagues. He's in labor. He's in tout now. He's in the NFBC and not to mention a slew of dynasty leagues as well. Ian, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me back. It's always fun to come stomp at the RotoWire on the grounds of RotoWire.
Yeah, indeed. Always happy to have you. It's an easy conversation, and it's always an easy conversation when we talk trade as well. And we just did so over the weekend.
We did indeed. You know, we play in the XFL league, which is what does it stand for? XFL.
It's basically as a play off the word experts. Late great Steve Moyer liked to mock that we were all called ourselves experts. So okay. It's mostly the so-called experts fantasy league. And
gotcha.
It's not all industry people, but it's a lot of industry people. Plus it started over at First Pitch Arizona, but some of the best players in the league are actually guys that don't write in the industry or do very little. Don Drucker, Jeff Winnick, are two fantastic players that don't have websites.
Jeff Winnick and I spent a lot of time on the telephone talking dynasty, not trades much. We don't typically get trades done, but we talk a lot of dynasty theory, and he's a very sharp guy and a really sharp player. So we play in this dynasty league, and I was asked by Steve Gardner to join him as his partner. This is Ron Chandler's dynasty league. It's got some, you know, Todd Zola's in this league, Brian Walton's in this league. I mean, the name Doug Dennis, who is a great player, is in this league. I mean, it's just it's like the granddaddy league. It really is. It's like the granddaddy of them all. So when I was invited to join with Steve, I was really excited to join, and Steve took over Steve Moyer's team a couple of years ago when Steve Moyer passed. And so when I joined, the team was good, but it wasn't going to win. And so I kind of convinced Steve I think this was in 2020. Yeah. I was like, let's do a bit of a rebuild. And so that's what we ended up doing. And the key to the rebuild was our very first trade, which was with you, Jeff Erickson.
Yeah.
And we traded you. And let me give a quick setup of the league. It's a contract league, so it's not a pure dynasty league.
Right. It's a hybrid between
the two. It's a real hybrid, because also I play in another league that you keep 15 players and you can keep whatever minor leaguers you want. Well, not this league. This league, you can only keep 15 players, whether it's minor league guys or it's major league guys. And the contracts are set up in such a way that prospects are really highly valued. You know, I mean, when I joined the league, Doug Dennis had a team with Fernando Tatis, Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Bo Bichette, and they were all on like $7 contracts or $4 to $7 contracts. And so, you know, I said to Steve, I was like, that's the path. Like, get the best young players, take a year. And actually last year we ended up kind of doing both. Like we traded for the first trade, this is key, was we traded you a $28 Bryce Harper who would go up $3 a year. So now he's a 31 now. Is he 34 at this point?
I'm confirming on that right now, as a matter of fact. Bryce Harper is 31. So 31. It must have been, I think you maybe traded him to me when he was
25, maybe?
25.
So, yeah. Okay, actually, I think I joined the league before 2021. I was not part of the league in 2020. I joined in the offseason coming into 2021.
Yep.
And so we traded you a $25 Bryce Harper that you're going to be able to keep very successfully for 5 years. I would say at least.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this is an OBP league.
Huge consideration on Bryce Harper. And we got back from you Andrew Vaughn on a rookie contract and Adley Rutschman on a rookie contract.
Yep.
And that sort of set our path.
Yeah. And so, to explain for everybody, the rookie contract, you start at zero, or basically when you get the call up, you start at one, but it costs you nothing until he reaches the majors. Once he reaches the majors, his contract only goes up $3 every year. You don't have to sign him to a long-term contract either. You make the decision every single year. It just goes up $3. Whereas a player you get in the auction or in free agency, it's $5 at a time.
Yes.
So, boom, it goes
up. All about those $3 players.
Yep.
It's all about accumulating as many. And we're going to maybe, if we have time, we're going to talk about some of the other trades that we've made over the course of just the last couple of months that have sort of put us towards this, but this is the year we are definitely in the tank. So last year, one of the upsides of this league also, which I highly recommend, is that the draft order is based on how high you are in the draft. So if you win the league, you get the last pick, but if you come in second, you get the first pick in the draft. So it really does it discourages what we're doing this year, which is really we're playing agent for other teams, right?
Yep.
So one of the agent moves we made was we traded this weekend a $23 Carlos Correa. So he's 23 this year. He'll be 26 next year for a first round pick in next year's draft with the idea that Jeff might win and then we'll get the last pick in the draft, but he might come in second or third, which means we'll get the first pick or the second pick. And so that's the upside. It's also an open universe league, which is also super fun. So there's a lot of little things in here, but,
and by open universe, you mean that you can pick up any player, a high schooler, you could pick up a player in the KBO if he's lighting up, a prospect in Japan, you know, you can do that.
You could do whatever you want. And it's really fun at the draft. And it's really interesting to see how people play. Here's what I would recommend. If you're doing what Steve and I are doing, your job is to continuously monitor the standings and make sure that the teams that are in the top four or five who have a chance, and there's a lot of teams that have a chance to win, creates a tremendous amount of selling opportunities. And then what you have to do is you have to figure out what they need and match it to what we need. So we gave you Correa. We could have possibly kept Correa next year at $26, though he's not really part of our plan for when we're really going to be in a strong competitive mode. So getting those picks are really gold because we don't have to keep them. We just get them. So we get an extra first round pick. You needed what Carlos Correa is providing. So that's the key thing. And I know Fred Zinke, who is the best trader that there is in fantasy baseball, we agree on this. It's like, you got to figure out not just like what works for you, but you got to figure out what works for your opponent or your trading partner even. And so there's been a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. And it's been so much fun. There's few things as much fun in fantasy baseball as making a good trade for both teams.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you also do very well is the method and how you do it. You get on the phone, you talk with people, and you know, it's fun that way. You make connections, you get to catch up with your friends, and say, hey, what's going on? What are you up to? I was at a soccer tournament over the weekend when I did the trade from the soccer tournament. Yep. I was in line getting tacos. Yep. It was useful. But the thing is, in this league, you typically know where you are. You know your roster pretty well. I wish it was like one of three leagues instead of one of 18, but at the same time, I was on top of it. I knew I had a team that has a chance to contend, but had some holes. And we have monthly pickups too. So you get a slew of injuries. You got to wait a while sometimes.
Yeah. So that's why it's so much fun, because there are always needs. So I made a trade with Todd Zola a month ago, and I don't know if you saw this, Jeff. He put out a little message at 11:21 on Sunday night saying, hey, I need a catcher. So I called Todd at 11:30 at night And yep. I said, hey, well, first I text him, you good? And he's like, okay, Con, I'll take your call, because he always makes fun of me because I'm always calling him, usually when he's on the RotoWire show with you.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you need a catcher. I've got Eric Haas. He's ready to go. But you also need a closer. I have Edwin Diaz. We have Edwin Diaz. We have Taylor Ward and Jared Walsh. Now, Ward and Walsh are keepable for a couple of years. They're on that $5 contract. Edwin Diaz, you're probably not going to keep him past this year, but he needs saves. And what we got back for, I would say, 3 years of Taylor Ward and 2 years of Jared Walsh and 1 year of Diaz was we got 10 years of Shane Baz and 10 years of Jeremy Pena, because Baz wasn't doing anything for him.
Right.
Obviously. And he's trying to win. And so that's the job. If you're in a rebuild spot, find what the other teams need and take from them what's not working for them. So I'm waiting for the moment that if Juan Soto goes down, because you own Juan Soto in that league. If Juan Soto goes down and it's July and Soto's out for the year, I've got a $16 Aaron Judge that I might, or $19 Aaron Judge that I could then flip you for your $13 Juan Soto. I think he's $13, right?
Yeah. And he's on a +3 contract,
which as is Judge.
So is Judge. Yep.
So I'm always looking for that. I'm like, all right, so how can I improve this team incrementally, just a little bit by bit by bit, and make it better to make the tightest top 15 that can then, the goal is that in a year or two, like there was one trade I do want to talk about. I made with Carabel and Tristan Cockcroft. Hold on. I gotta shut this window. Just give me 1 second.
All right. All right. So
it's just just give me 1 second.
Go for it there. Talking with Ian Kahn. You can check out all of his work at The Athletic. Does the Under the Radar podcast there. They were defending AL Labor champ and the Tout. And it was the 2019 Tout Wars head-to-head champ as well. We're going to talk a lot about that later on, but we're talking about his trade right now in the XFL with Eric Carabel and Tristan Cockcroft.
So they took over Trace Wood's team, and we sent them, and this is going to sound immense, but we had about 18 keepers that we rather liked.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that many keepers that they liked, and they were in competitive mode. So we traded them Ryan Mountcastle, also on a $3 contract. So it's probably keep him 5 or 6 years. Jose Berrios on like, I think a $22 contract he can keep for 2-3 years. And Brandon Lau on an $11 +5 contract. So you keep for 2 years, and then 10 years of Edward Cabrera. So, and a second round pick and a fifth round pick. So we gave them all of that. Mountcastle, Berrios, Brandon Lau, Edward Cabrera, second round pick, fifth round pick. For 10 years or 12 years, really, of Julio Rodriguez.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And that was last November. I was driving in a car, and I was like on the phone with Tristan. Tristan's like, Ian, Ian. And I was like, it was originally with a fifth. I was like, all right, we'll give you our second round pick too. Because I got off the phone. I called in between talking to Tristan. He was like, all right, let me talk to Eric. And I was like, all right, I'll talk to Steve. And then I called James Anderson, and I said, okay, I need a comp. Give me a comp. He's like, okay. I said, give me a comp for Julio Rodriguez. And he goes, Juan Soto. I said, what? And he said, it's Juan Soto. That's the comp. And I went, okay, that's it. So that's when I called Steve and I called Tristan. I was like, we'll give you the second round too. And he's been pretty good.
I would say so. He's I would say so. It's up to 329 OBP now. Of course, you've got him forever. Which is the beautiful thing there. Here's the other part too. You've got them forever at a discounted rate. You've got all these guys at a discounted rate. Next year, when you get into the auction, you're going to be buying.
Yes.
That's the big advantage that you have, is you're going to have just a slew of these guys at low contracts. I've got that situation. And, I had that situation in my NL home league this year, where not only did I make some good moves to position myself for a rebuild, a reboot, but some of my like flyers just hit, and it just makes a huge difference when that happens.
And there's no guarantees, because Julio Rodriguez could get figured out, and some of these other guys, Shane Baz, I could have just given up 3 years of three to, and maybe Taylor Ward is Taylor Ward, like maybe he is that great, and if he is, then I just gave up all that for Shane Baz, who might have arm trouble for the next 5 years and is a drop. So they all look good in theory and they feel good when you make them. And then you turn around and it's like, wait, no, that didn't work out really at all. So, you know, you can feel good for the minute.
Right. But, and here's the other thing about the XFL too, is there's some tension because you keep no more than 15 players and that includes prospects.
Yes.
You know, so, and some like a score sheet league, you can keep, sometimes you have like separate prospect slots. Sometimes you hit keep unlimited prospects. Here, it's just 15 players, period.
Yeah.
Major leaguers prospects. So you kind of have to, there's some tension that you're going to have to
decide. Real tension, because then you've got Khalil Watson, right? Who we grabbed in the auction. Jeff Ponce said to me, Khalil Watson's the best player from that. I just watched him play. He's ridiculous. So we grabbed him and I'm thinking, am I really going to keep him for 4 years? Are Steve and I going to keep him for 3 or 4 years until he comes up to the majors and use one of those 15 keeper slots? So there's no guarantees, man. I mean, you know, we have a plan and hopefully it'll work out, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. And you have a partner in this league too. And I think you have partners in other leagues as well. How is that dynamic? And you're working with Steve Gardner in this league. Mm-hmm. I think you got a league with James.
And I, for the first time in a while, are not sharing a team this year, which makes us sad. But our RotoWire Dynasty Invitational, that league kind of faded away. And then we've been doing an FBC. And then this year it's just, we got too much. So we're still partners. We're still partners and we're still in contact all the time and talking about the game, but we're not partnering, but I do love partnering with people. I think it's a real value in so many different ways, especially in fab leagues, because it's just like, wait a minute, you think that? And like, wait a minute. I think I'll say something and my partner and my most often partner is Robert Mershak, who is an opera agent. Which is fabulous. And a really great player, like just smart as hell. And I brought him into a dynasty league once. I offered him the team and he was like, I'll do it if I do it with you. And I was like, all right, I'll do it with you. And then it went really well. And like the team was good and we worked really well together. I was like, all right, well here, let's do this league together. Let's do this league together. And then, so I love partnering with people. I partner with Wilson Karaman. I partner with Dr. Thomas Scott, who's a pediatrician in the Mocky League, the Derek Van Riper League. But I think partnering is great as long as you keep the ego out of it. And you just sort of like, you know, I had a great idea that this player, like I always go back to Joe Ross when I was sure that Joe Ross was the answer last year. I was sure I was right. No, we're starting him. And Rob was like, well, you know, I mean, maybe we want 10 runs.
Yeah.
10 runs.
Yeah. So, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
All good. Before we move on, talk a little bit more about that, including the, like how to get a deal started. We got to take a quick note from our Blue Wire Network advertisers.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back. Thank you for your indulgence on that, everybody. Appreciate it there. As always, our podcasts are hosted on the Blue Wire Network. I'm here with Ian Kahn. My name is Jeff Erickson. You can find my work at RotoWire. You can find Ian's work at The Athletic. You can follow Ian on Twitter at IanKahn4. Ian, we had Jordan chimes in the chat, says, can't get anybody to trade in my league. You are obviously very prolific at getting that conversation started. Mm-hmm. What's the best, you know, what's the top hint you can have in saying, like, if you're having trouble getting deals done in your league, what do you tell people?
The first thing I try to do is I try to put myself into the shoes of the other owner. Right. I try to always, what do you need? How can we make a deal that works best for both sides? Right. The thing that kind of kills trading opportunities is we all get this where you get an offer and it's like, in what alternate universe would that make any sense for my team?
Right.
Like, I'll give you somebody and somebody for Mike Trout. And it's like, but why would I give you Mike Trout for that? That doesn't make any sense. So the first thing I like to do is sort of really look at it from their point of view. Then I'll text them or email them if I don't have their phone number. And I'll say, hey, do you want to hop a call? And the upside of hopping a call is that, like, I talked to Lenny Melnick over the course of the last couple of weeks, trying to get a trade done in Tout NL. He needed a pitcher. And I call, he's like, Ian, oh, hello, it's the legend. And I said, hi, Lenny. Okay, yeah. So can we find a little thing? And he's like, oh, this is so great. You're like old school on the phone. It's so much fun. So that's what I do is you get on the phone with somebody, you talk with them. I find out, oh, you're in a soccer tournament. I was at a baseball tournament for my 13-year-old son or a baseball game. And then you talk and you say, what do you need? And then this is what I need. Okay, well, what do I need back for that? Instead of the emails back and forth, like, well, how about this or how about this? I find that, we got our trade done in 3 minutes.
Yep.
On the phone. You went, I kind of want Correa. I was like, yeah, I've got Correa in another deal I'm thinking about. You're like, yeah, but Correa is the perfect fit for me. I was like, would you give us a first rounder? And you were like, yeah, I will. And I said, all right, let me call Steve. Called Steve. Steve goes, I hate to lose Correa. I was like, I know, but you know, we got so many other guys that we want to keep. He's like, okay, we should do it. And it's almost like Steve's the owner and I'm the GM. And I sort of like, I'm out here. And then Steve goes, yeah, okay, let's signed off. Let's do it. And then I call you back. I said, all right, sending it over. And it's done. So getting that connection and not trying to screw your trading partner.
Right. Exactly.
Everyone's smart. People are smart. So like, don't try to win 60-40 trades. You can win a 55-45 trade if another team needs to make the deal. But even then, like there was a trade in GDD, which is another league that I do. That's a New York-based industry league. It's a really good league and super fun. And Alex Cushing, who's one of the smartest, sharpest players, period, that there is. Yep. Dynasty or redraft. Cushing is brilliant. He needed a pitcher. We kind of needed a third baseman, but he was calling me for the pitcher. And he was like, I'll give you Luis Urias for Garrett Whitlock, who had a two-start week. And I was like, yeah, but I don't really want to trade Whitlock. And he was like, yeah, but you need a third baseman because all you have is Franco from the Nationals. And eventually that Cinderella is going to get, you know, the slipper, whatever. I forgot. And I was like,
yep. As someone who has Michael Franco in XFL, I'm acutely aware of this ticking time bomb here.
So when he said that, and then, but I should have been able to squeeze $5 or $6 fab out of him too, right? Because you can trade fab in that league. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and Rob Murshak's my partner. And he was like, we should get some fab. I was like, yeah, but it's only the only reason we should get some fab is because he's up against it. Let's just give it to him. It's a fair deal. We need Luis Urias. We could use Luis Urias. We have Blake Snell coming off the IL. It's fair. Let's just do it. And what that does is it builds trust between trade partners. And that's a big part of it. Like, you make trades with teams that you have relationships with. Like, you and I, we have relationships. We made the Darvish trade last year, which was a similar deal. We made the Harper trade. We made the Correa trade. Your team's going to win. You're in first place right now in XFL. I don't know if you're going to win, but you're in first place. You got 105 points, I think. And Chandler's got 99. DVR's got like 98.5. And you know, you're in position to win. And And then when you win, if you win, you're going to go, well, Khan and Gardner are good trade partners for me.
And then exactly. And I didn't have to say, oh, this guy really just put me over a barrel. He tried to squeeze every concession possible out of me. You know, there is someone that in a score sheet league I'm in, and I'd get a 3-paragraph email, like why this offer that I don't like at all is good for me. And why you can't, and it's just like, no, I just don't like that. Stop trying to, sell me this bill of goods. And you could see it. And then, you look back at past trades with them. You're like, I just didn't enjoy the experience. Other people, you're like, oh yeah, I can get a deal done real quickly. It doesn't even matter if you did the trade did okay with them. It's like, was it painful? Did you hate doing it? And then you're not going to trade with them.
Yeah. You could get the same offer in that score sheet league from two players, one who is that guy or person, and one who's just random person, and they might be the same offer, but you're going to look at it differently based on what you feel, how you feel they deal with you. So yeah. I go out of my way. Also, it's more fun that way. Like, treat people with respect. Again, people aren't dumb. Yep. People are looking out for their side of it. So Zinke says this better than anybody. You got to look at it from the other guy's perspective. Tim McLeod too. I remember when I first started playing 10 years ago, Timmy McLeod and I became really close, and he would say, well, Ian, you're putting on the used car salesman jacket, but give him a good deal. And that's what it is. So that's what I would say. That would be my answer to the gentleman who left us a question.
Thank you, Jordan, for the question. Appreciate you there. You're in AL labor. You're the defending champ. You pulled off a trade the night of the auction. Which is amazing. Garrett Cole and I forget the hitter that you got back in return, but you were overweighted in pitching. He and Jason Collette was overweighted in hitting. Mm-hmm. And you guys pulled off a deal. What was the deal and how's that worked out so far?
Garrett Cole, I got Garrett Cole and I traded him Garrett Cole and Luke Voit, and he traded me Vladimir Guerrero and Jordan Montgomery.
And still waiting on that win.
Still waiting on that win. And in the main event, still waiting on that win. But it's, I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, how'd that trade go? It's like, it's still undecided, but it was helpful for both of us at the time, because in the auction, I'm looking for value. And I was finding a lot of value in pitching. And then I was like, I have too much pitching. And Jason was like, I don't have enough pitching. So I called him up and I said, yo, you got a minute? He's like, yeah. And I was like, how about this? He was like, ooh, I like that. That makes sense. And so it just balanced us out. And again, it's looking for the other side. Like, it's kind of like the golden rule, right? Treat others as you would like to be treated. It's very simple. And then get on the phone with them.
Yeah, very easy. And that's a good way to pull it off there. So I love that. I love that quite a bit. How are you doing in labor so far?
Right now, tied for second place with James Anderson. So James and I are tied. Second place. Saris has had a strong start. It's a quarter of the way through, so we'll see. Glenn Colton said to me before, he's like, "You gonna repeat?" I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Only we repeat." So like, you should try to repeat. See if you can pull it off. So I'm giving it my all. I'm waiting. Riley Green was I drafted him and I was excited about him, so I'm excited for him to come back. The team's pretty good. I like it. Not my favorite team of the year. Last year was a sort of magical year. Just everything went right.
Yep.
And just, from the jump. So it's a little bit more of a slog, but I feel good. I feel good right now in that spot. Yeah.
What is your favorite team of the year?
Probably the main event team. So, I would say the main event team is my favorite year. I've never done the main event. And Rob Mershak was just like, we're doing the main event. And I was like, I don't want to. And he was like, why not? And I said, well, first, it takes out a major part of the game that I love, which is trading. And a part of the game that I feel I'm good at that makes my teams better. Can't do that. But the other thing was, I didn't want to invest all that money, because I thought that if I did, it might change my experience of playing the game, right? Where I was like, I don't know. I mean, $1,800 is a lot of money. And he was just sort of like, we're doing it. And you pay what you pay and I'll pay the rest and we'll partner up and we'll do it. And, people are always talking about fantasy industry guys that we're not so good at the game. And I was like, all right. So that team right now is the one that I'm most focused on, I would have to say.
It does just occupy a big space in your brain. Let me tell you, I love all my leagues, but I orient a lot of my thinking towards NFPC style leagues. And of course the main comes first. It's a different animal. Did you do it live? Did you do it online? How'd you guys do it?
Did it online. And I will say, like, in NL Tout, where I'm currently in third, I've been sort of dancing between first, second, and third for most of the season. I'd like to win that league because it's my first year in that league. Because and thank you, Jeff, for moving me into NL Tout, because it's a real challenge and it's a great league, great players. For the main, I'm sorry, what was the question about the main?
Oh, I was just asking where you did it.
We did it online. So we did it online, and we got the draw, and Phil Dussault, how do we say it?
Dussault.
Okay, so like French. I took French. So Phil Dussault was in our draw, and Tyler Young was in our draw.
Yeah.
And I went, and I told people, like, damn. I'm like, no, that's what you want. I want to play against the smartest guys in the game, and there's nobody better right now than Phil Dussault based on what he did last year. And it was scary and awesome and fun, and we worked our tail off. We worked our butts off. Rob and I spent, I would say, because it was right before the season started, so all the other auctions and drafts were done. So we really, like, and we got the 15th pick, which was, we were good. We were fine with it. It was like, it was an okay spot to be in. And we just worked it and worked it and worked it and worked it and said, and game planned it and war planned it. Like, all right, well, what if this is what it is? And it actually ended up working out pretty much exactly to plan.
Yeah.
Of what we were hoping for. So it's so far, look, it's so early, but we're doing really well. We're doing really well.
And it's the hitting side. You have 73 hitting points in your individual league. I think you said you had the most hitting points overall as well.
I believe we do. I believe we have the most hitting points overall.
And you started, I mean, you pounded the hitting early. You have Betts, Devers, Mullins, Judge. I mean, your first four picks had to be hitters.
Well, we would have gone a pitcher at four but Mullins and Judge, it was like, if either Mullins or Judge makes it back to us at 45, 46, we're taking them. And then both of them made it back. And wow. I was like, well, sorry, we'll wait on pitching. And so the pitching was, we lost a couple points last night, but we're at, I think 117 points right now, 117.5. And Dussault has got 107. Richard Mindo has 96. So, and then Michael Fuchs has 95.5, Daniel Baker 91, Eric Heberleg 87, and then Tyler Young 86.
And so, Eric Heberleg is a very frequent player, has done very well in the online championship, really solid player. You've got some, you know, you got David DiDonato, who's won the overall main before. I mean, you've got a strong league.
It's great because every Sunday we're thinking and we're trying to figure out what everyone else is going to do and picking up our guys. And it's so far, we've been so lucky. We've been really fortunate with injuries. And we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. I'm looking at your roster. Obviously you have a ton of power. You have 38 stolen bases because Harrison Bader has been a nice hero for you with 11 stolen bases.
Yeah.
Speaking of stolen bases, because of you, I have Jorge Mateo on a couple of teams. You did AL labor and you were talking him up afterward, talking up Jorge Mateo afterward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, granted, I mean, he is limited in some of the things he can do, but he does one thing very well. He runs, he plays on a crappy team that lets him run.
And he plays every day. And, yep. You know, that's, I'm glad that you got Jorge Mateo on other leagues. That is my, this league, the main event league, is the one league other than GDD where Glenn Colton just kept going, nope, Ian, you're not getting them. You're not getting them. You're not getting them. You're not getting them. And I was just like, I can't pay that much for him. Like, and I wish I had, but this was the one league I didn't get him. And it's kind of heartbreaking and tough, but with Mullins stealing bases and with Hader stealing bases, I'm not Hader, Bader. With Bader stealing bases, we're okay. You know, I mean, we've got, and Mookie steals a couple, and Torres will steal, Chris Taylor, Rizzo will throw in some. So we've got the speed that we need to compete. The pitching side, you know, is pretty good. Taylor Rogers has worked out remarkably well.
Yes.
On the closing side. Where were you on, was Clay Holmes available in your league this weekend?
No, not in one of my, I have two main event leagues, and one of them we have one closer. That was the one thing that was our inefficiency. And it's not even a full-time closer. It's Scott Barlow. So 3 weeks ago, we picked up Holmes when he first showed up some polls and looked like he was the number two guy. Well, it's not all nice because he has been inactive for the last 3 weeks for us. He's been on our bench. Mm-hmm. Finally, this week is the first week we've had him active, but it's nice to have him.
He's the closer for the New York Yankees moving forward. He will be, he is not going, I'm saying this, I don't think he's going to lose that job to Aroldis Chapman. I think that's it. I have a whole theory about closers, about back page. Like you want to hire guys. You want to draft guys who, if they are to lose the job, it's going to be on the back page of the newspaper saying this is a really bad thing that this guy is gone. And Chapman's just lost the job, and he lost it with injury as well. I put quote signs around, but I just think Holmes is the best pitcher in that bullpen. It's like not even close.
He is. And Michael King's the second best pitcher in the bullpen right now, which is interesting to think of, because I think a lot of people, self included, got Jonathan Loaisiga in a lot of leagues. I had Loaisiga in that league. I no longer have him. But a lot of people had Chad Green for good reason. Chad Green had an amazing season last year. But yeah, it's really changed. Now, the risk is they're the Yankees. They can go out and trade. In fact, I saw, just a headline today. I haven't even read the article yet. I think on Fox Sports, it's like the Yankees need to fix their closer problem. Okay, you're not paying attention too much because Clay Holmes is really doing it. Now, I just read a headline. I didn't read the article yet. I haven't had time. Point is, there's going to be that pressure. Got to get that name guy. Got to go get that guy we've all heard of to come in and fix the Yankees bullpen. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Well, on our show Under the Radar, which I get to do Wednesdays, although I missed yesterday, sadly, with Nando DeFino and our friend Derek Van Riper, we talk. Nando loves Miguel Andujar, and it's just like, what are they? They got to trade Miguel Andujar. What the hell's going on? And so I said,
love your impressions, by the way.
I haven't even done the one that I'm most famous for, Jeff. I don't think you've heard. Is my R.L. Cohen impression, which I could do for everybody because I do enjoy doing it.
I love R.L. Yes, we got to do that before we sign off here.
So Andujar is like, well, they got to trade him. And I was like, they don't need anything. Well, now they do. And Andujar is hitting, though now with Gallo struggling, Hicks struggling, and Stanton now injured, I don't know, Andujar might be in that lineup. But the Yankees have a great baseball team. They're really great. And they lost three in a row for the first time this season. And they looked bad, but they came back. They've won the last two against Baltimore in a real positive way. And as Ariel Cohen would say, well, it's about as good as the Mets. But, if you think about it, the upside for Steve Cohen as the owner of the Mets is really remarkable because he has an open wallet and he's going to use it.
All right. Very good. That's good.
That's the end of the impression form of the show.
Yeah. I love how Nando fixates on certain players and they're just his guys. And it's never the obvious guys. Talwar, same thing. There's certain guys that are Nando guys. I'm in a score sheet league with him too. Mm-hmm. It's great. He goes and gets those guys, and if they bingo, then it's just like it feels so good for him.
But that's the thing. What we've been working with him on is you can have some of your guys, but you need to have some guys who we know are going to play. So you gotta balance it. But he has a keen eye. And he's always like, well, I just do the same thing. I go to, I have a theory and talks about it on the show. But he was on Nestor Cortez 3 years ago. Cortez, this guy's the best. I don't know why they keep trading him. He's going to be huge. And now look at Nestor Cortez. Ty France, 2 years before, it was his Jed Jerko. Nando has a real special eye. So if you have never listened to Under the Radar on Wednesdays, it's part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. The three of us really do have a good time. I mean, we really have a nice hangout time.
Well, all three of you are just, fantastic at the craft of doing podcasts. And, speaking, it comes naturally for you. You're an actor as well. And it's something that it's an acquired taste for some people, but for you, it flows naturally. But DVR has the best voice in fantasy sports.
Best voice. And Nando's got a pretty good voice.
Yes, he does.
Here's what we say about the show on the show. DVR. So when we were first going to do the show, it was just going to be me and Nando, and it was going to be called Nando and the General. I had just finished doing Turn, Washington Spies, and we were going to do that show, and DVR was going to be our producer. And then it was like, wait a minute, DVR, why don't you join us? And so Nando and I are kind of like, we're like a, this show is like a sandwich. So Nando and I are like the meat and the cheese and like the mustard and mayo. And DVR is like the best two pieces of ciabatta bread that you're ever going to find, and kind of keeps the sandwich together. So, you know, we will start talking about Jurickson and Profar, you know, and DVR is like, oh, guys, you got to let go of Jurickson and Profar. So he kind of keeps us always on balance, which is great. It's a fun show. Fun show.
Awesome.
People like it.
That's awesome. It's great stuff. You know, it is really good. And you guys all have keen minds, and yeah, it comes naturally. What's your favorite role over the years? Favorite acting role that you've ever done?
Well, in the theater, I did a play called King John, a Shakespeare play, where I played what's considered one of the three greatest roles in Shakespeare. There's Hamlet, there's John Falstaff from the Henry IVs, and then there's the bastard from King John. I think that may have been that, or I did The Importance of Being Earnest at Arena Stage in Washington, D.C., where I played Algernon Moncrief, and that was a tremendous amount of fun. But in terms of television, I played a lot of roles, but certainly the 4 years of playing George Washington was absolutely life-changing. So I would have to go to General Washington there.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been doing much work in that arena lately?
No, you know, I took a sabbatical at a really good time in 2019.
Yes.
So I kind of got out right when the going was good. And really, it's a sabbatical. I took a pause because I wanted to do some other kind of work in the political world. And so I'm doing some work on virtual communications with people. So I teach people, really, without microphones, but I teach people how to communicate their messages best. And it's not just in the political world. I do it in the business world. And I teach people how to use the camera to their, like I'm doing right here. Like I'm looking right into the camera. And I teach people how to do that.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. And it helps for this world. It really does. I mean, you are smooth. You know, like you said, you are looking at the camera. I have sometimes an issue with that. Sometimes I'm looking all over the place. I'm looking at the screen here. I also, I have the attention span of a fly. So, I see a shiny object there. Got to hit that, you know, but all that. So it's all good. Okay. So most important thing for you to do in the main event. So you've got this rocket ship of a team. You've got your hitters. You got to be streaming pitchers left and right now.
I'm not a huge streaming pitcher. So, I mean, we're at number 8 overall.
Right.
And the chance to win the dang thing, I don't know, man. It's my first time. I've never played in this format before. I've never played in, so I don't really know. I'm going to be calling people who, like, I want to call Vlad Sedler. I want to call all these people. And just, I called Phil Dussault before the season. And I was like, hey, you know, how did we do? Do you know? Cause I mean, I'm here to learn too. Like the other thing about getting on the phone with people is you learn stuff from them. They teach you stuff. And then hopefully you teach. That's how I got to know Ariel Cohen so well, is the year after I won Tout in 2019, 2020, I had the lead going into, and I still think this is the way it should be. And we tied on the last day. Ariel and I tied.
I remember that.
Yes, not happy. And I still think that if you tie and you're the champion, you should be able to hold that belt. You need to be defeated. You got to beat the man to be the man. And then I would have won my first 2 years in Tout Wars, which would have been a remarkable thing. But I ended up coming in second place because he won on the tiebreak. Very unfortunate, very sad. But what ended up happening was I called him up and I was like, you beat me. And he goes, well, you know, it was really close. I was like, yeah, I know, but you know, what's the trick? Like what's the thing that you do? He said, oh, well, you know, and I said, do you think there's something I could do better? He goes, oh, well, for sure. I mean, you don't know what you're doing with auctions. I said, what? And he goes, well, you know, I mean, I even wrote an article about it. You know, you really don't have a strategy when it comes to auctions. You're like, you're just getting by on your knowledge of players and what you think is going to happen. I mean, if you actually understood how to do an auction, you might be really good. So I was like, so yeah, I took a big swallow. And I went, okay, well, what am I doing? Well, you're doing everything wrong. I mean, you don't have any method to it. I mean, you're just throwing out relievers left and right. Like, there's a point to it. So what I did was I spent the next month on the phone with him, learning everything I could about auction strategy.
And the guys, I'm picturing this training montage in my
head was,
right,
dude,
now.
It was a full training montage. And he's like, no, plus one. But and so I try to do that with like, practice. And kind of, if you want to win, you got to find value. So that's what I do is I get on. So I'm going to get on the phone with people and sort of say, what does it look like? Because we went on pitching. We've got our staff is Hold on real quick. It is Logan Webb, Yu Darvish, 1-2. Jordan Montgomery, Joe Ryan, 3-4. Closers, Taylor Rogers, and Gregory Soto by the skin of our teeth, Gregory Soto. And then, yeah, you're not wrong. I just don't like the streaming idea. I like the pitchers that I think are going to really work, which is really not different than what you said. But yeah, we picked up Michael Lorenzen in the first week. And Michael Lorenzen has been really helpful. We just grabbed Hunter Green the week after, the Sunday after his perfect game, almost shot a no-hitter, and then watched him, didn't put him in against the Blue Jays last week, but now he's pitching. Today, he'll be pitching in like an hour against the Cubs.
Yep.
And Cole Irvin is somebody who we both like a lot, but we still have, and Spencer Strider has been valuable. We just picked up Johnny Cueto. Corey Kluber has been a disappointment. But we have on our, we've been holding on our bench, Steven Strasburg and Chris Sale. So when those guys come back, we have only 2 points in strikeouts in this league. So we're really low in strikeouts. And if Sale can come back and be Sale, or 80% of Sale, and if Strasburg comes back, I'm the stupid sucker who always, you know, we got Strasburg in the 22nd and Sale in the 24th. And we've been able to, this is what I mean, we're so fortunate. If we had more injuries in the hitting side, we would not have been able to keep holding them.
That's right.
But it looks like we're going to make it to, once one comes back, then we're good, you know. And then
Pitched a rehab assignment game yesterday. So yeah, you're on your path. Now, Sale, they're talking about maybe using him out of the bullpen, though.
That's
not optimal for you.
I saw that. And here's what I say. And I called up Rob and I went, Rob, Sale. And he said, they're just going to start him in the bullpen to just bring him back. So his last few will be in the bullpen. I was like, that would be good. Let's go with that. So, I mean, we could really use it. But again, we've been so lucky. It's hard to believe that we're going to continue being this lucky. But that's why I want to talk to the guys who've won before and sort of say, what is it? What does it take if you're in decent position? We're in decent position. Decent position to be, you know, to do okay. But again, we're playing against the best players in the game in this league, and we'll be fortunate to stay where we are. I mean, we'll be damn lucky. So we'll see.
Don't give up. Never give up. Can't stop. Won't stop. That's it. Because
that's the upside.
They're not going to.
That's the upside of not playing fantasy football. Is I never lose focus on baseball ever.
Nice.
All the way through September.
That's a whole nother podcast too, because you could give me some tips on how to not play other sports. Oh, except I wouldn't take it. So there you go. But Ian, it's been always a pleasure. This 45 minutes flew by as it always does. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Jeff, thank you for having me on. You guys are, I mean, you know, you're Jeff Erickson, man, and this is RotoWire. So being able to spend this time with you is an honor. I appreciate
it. No problem. Make sure to check out Ian on Under the Radar on The Athletic, and always, and of course, on Twitter at IanCon4. You can catch out everything that he does there. All right, guys, coming up tomorrow, we got 2 start starters. We got Clay and Todd. Thanks again for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Have a great day.